Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People are amazed and shocked at the Channing Crowder video that has been released.
I need one more chance.
No, give it up.
Yeah, bro, you're done.
Give it up. These are some of the texts that are coming in regarding the video. Channing, what the hell were you thinking?
I've done that before. I've done that before.
Not at 35 years old, and how many knee surgeries have you had?
They're telling me like I'm jumping 13. Across the Grand Canyon. I've done that
you
before.
You might as well try to jump across the Grand Canyon based on that. Another text, that is the most amazing video I've ever seen in my life.
My kids were laughing at me. Now, that hits you hard as a father. When your kids laugh at you, you're supposed to be a superhero. They're 6 and 7. I'm supposed to be a superhero still.
Cheers to that epic jump. Damn, Crowder, just a little bit short on that jump attempt, huh? Did anybody notice Crowder got no height whatsoever? I guess his white side was showing.
A sign?
Channing, ain't no way you're making that jump.
I like it with some white. So.
The funniest part was watching Crowder limp out of the water.
My knee is swollen right now.
And then the tweets are even funnier. The texts are funny, but the tweets are even funnier. Somebody put a cape on Crowder. They photoshopped a cape on him the moment his two arms went out, as if that was going to help him get some extra distance.
It worked for Superman. Worked for Wonder Woman. It works.
Oh, my God. All right. George Sedano is on the line. I don't want to make him wait, but I texted him the video so that he could watch it. Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. George Sedano used to do the shift, right here on WQAM. He does afternoons on ESPN Los Angeles now. You turn on any NBA game on ESPN, you have a good chance of seeing George prowling the sidelines, too. He is one of the hardest working individuals at ESPN, and here he is. What'd you think of that video, George?
Look, man. You're giving Crowder a lot of grief for a guy who had an athletic feat and high of more than 99.9% of the world.
No doubt.
America.
No doubt. Okay? Which is what made him believe that he could make that jump.
I can't lose it, though, George. I can't lose it. I think it's still in me.
Hey, Channing. Father time is undefeated, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, look, I had this conversation with Charles Barkley not that long ago. We were talking about, like, guys in the NBA and when they start pump faking. And he's like, you know what I mean? That's when you knew I was done, when I had to pump fake 30 times to try to get a damn shot up.
Crowder, you needed to pump fake the pier.
almost jumped. Oh, almost jumped.
Yeah, so you used to be, like Charles told me that day, I used to be Charles Barkley, the NBA superstar. Now I'm just Charles Barkley. And that's you, Crowder. You used to be Channing Crowder, NFL player. Now you are Channing Crowder hanging out with Hockman.
Yeah. See, he got goaded into it by his family. He was in South Carolina with his family, and he's like, oh, you could easily jump that because they want to go fish on that little landmass, and there's a little walkway. And he's like, no, just jump over. And
Jump over real quick.
And they're like, Uncle Channing, you can't do that. And blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yes, I can. He measured it out. It was 17 feet. He used to long jump in high school. He's like, no problem. And you saw, I mean, there was zero chance from the moment of liftoff that he was getting there, and he forgot he's a 35-year-old father of two.
Yeah, it happens, man. Look, I stopped playing pickup basketball at LA Fitness like a couple years ago because I would come home, and I'm 41 now, and I would come home and I'd be like all beat up. My ankles would be all messed up, my knees would be all messed up, my back would be all messed up, and my wife says to me, why the hell do you do this to yourself? Like, what are you trying to prove? You're playing with 25-year-old kids. What do you expect to happen out there?
Yeah.
Something different.
I think Crowder learned a lesson. I think he learned a lesson.
That was enlightening to me.
All right. Sedano, let's talk a little NBA here, because George Sedano, he's got that pulse of the NBA. First of all, before I talk Heat, what do you think about this as a flyer, a little gambling flyer, betting $100 that the Lakers win the West? Because it's plus 2,000. So $100 will win you 2,000. Because I know people are debating whether they're going to get into the playoffs or not. I'm saying I bet them to actually win the West. Because when they get in the playoffs, LeBron turns on the afterburners, much like Crowder did off the pier.
It's not a crazy bet. I do think that if they can get to the seventh seed, which is still plausible, I think they can get to at least the conference finals. And then all of a sudden, you're one injury away from maybe it happening. So, I mean, for $100, if you've got nothing else to burn it on, then might as well. What the hell?
I think that's a decent bet at plus 2,000. I think they make the play. Do you think they make the playoffs?
I do. If you look at LeBron, his last two seasons, because I single out the last two seasons because they've had kind of some turmoil at the trade deadline one way or the other, and he becomes a different player. David Griffin, the Cavs' former general manager, was on my show recently, and we talked about it. He just gets a different focus in that second half post All-Star break. If you look at his numbers specifically, points per game go up about 3 points per game, rebounds go up, assists go up, usage rate goes up. He knows what time it is. Now, he's never had to drag somebody actually into the playoffs in this scenario. Like, usually he's playing for seeding at this point. But, it's still LeBron James. So barring him being injured again, I think that they can make the playoffs. And I think they could potentially get to the seventh spot.
And, George, the Lakers are fine because a couple weeks ago, the whole Anthony Davis thing, and then after he pretty much was willing to trade the entire roster, we saw the game where he set 9 seats down from his teammates and all that, and they end up getting beat by 40 with some terrible team. They got the hell beat out of them. But then they come back and start playing. Like, when that happens, when LeBron GM comes out from being LeBron player, it's overlooked in a couple days. Like, there's no residual effects to that.
Oh, no, I think there's residual effects to it, but that's why Magic Johnson flew out to Philadelphia, which, by the way, they got crushed there. And he tried to kind of smooth things over and explain to them it's a business. Now, these guys have said the right things in front of the cameras, these young guys, but they're getting a hard lesson, man. And that's LeBron. That's LeBron, you know, that's just the way he conducts himself. I mean, he walked away from Dwayne Wade. I heard you guys play the Pat Riley cut before I came on. He walked away from arguably his best friend in basketball when he still had a little left in the tank because he wanted to basically trade up for a younger version of him. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference between LeBron, the way he treats you when it comes to social situations or even being his friend, and there's a difference between LeBron, the businessman, and these young guys on the Lakers just learned that the hard way.
George Sedano is with us, ESPN Los Angeles, former host of This Shift right here. What about the Heat? Will the Heat make the playoffs? They're the 9 seed right now, but it's not an easy road.
I'm super conflicted as to whether they should make the playoffs because, yes, part of me would like to see Wade and Spo one more time in the first round and just kind of see what they can pull off. And, look, I don't think they're beating anybody if they get in at the 8 or the 7 spot. But I'd like to see how far they can push things. But the other part of me says, for the betterment of the franchise, they'd be better off in the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that this franchise is bereft of talent. And they've got some nice players in Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson. Those are good fourth and fifth players on a championship-level team. They're not the top three guys on a championship-level team. And they don't have any of those guys anymore. You could have made the case maybe for Dragic a couple of years ago, and obviously even Wade back in 2016. But I don't even know if you can make the case for Dragic even at this point, even if he comes back 100% healthy.
If the Heat don't make the playoffs, how would you characterize this season?
It would be a disappointment in the sense that you expect that a team with Eric Spoelstra on it to be able to make it into the playoffs. And I'm not putting this on Eric. I'm putting it on the roster construction. But even he, as much of a magician as he is, and as much as he's kind of saved Pat here the last couple of years, at some point he's going to run out of magic. And this group, man, like, they're just not that good. They've got a number of guys on there whose contracts, we've talked about this a million times, aren't worth very much on the open market. At best, what they're getting them is another bad contract. Look, Ryan Anderson, the perfect example. You saved like $3 or $4 million basically on Tyler Johnson. But that's the deal, the best deal that you could get for Tyler Johnson. And there's a number of these Tyler Johnson type contracts on this particular roster. So I guess it would be disappointing because you would like to have seen them compete in Wade last season. But it'll be remembered for Wade last season no matter what. I think that'll be kind of the overriding factor.
I know he's the godfather, Pat Riley, but could this team look better if Riley wasn't involved? Because you talk about those terrible contracts, the James Johnson, the Tyler Johnson, just all the stuff that he did in the past 4 or 5 years. Could this team have been hurt by having Pat Riley a part of it?
I don't know if I'd characterize it as hurt. I certainly think he got swept up in the emotion of his own mythology, right? Because if you look at it, Dion Waiters, a former top five lottery pick, and they got duped. Let's be real here. They thought, oh, we can turn this around. We've got a history of turning guys into something who everyone discarded. It's really been one of the biggest strengths of Pat Riley's career. For all the stuff that people talk about, him landing the whales and whatnot, which he's done that, but to me, right there with him is developing these guys that were discarded, right? Udonis Haslam, go back to Isaac Austin, even John Starks in the Knicks days, Anthony Mason. Like, over the years, there's always been a reclamation project with the Heat. The problem is he took on too many reclamation projects at the same time. Like, you can't do that. It's like you're building a house. You can't, you know, unless you got a bleep ton of money, you're not rebuilding the whole house. You're doing it in parts, right? And that's the problem. They tried to redo the whole house, and they only have a limited amount of funds to work with. So that becomes kind of the issue that they were dealing with. So maybe to some extent, yeah, they believe that their culture can make anything work. And in this particular case, that clearly wasn't the case. And maybe someone like Eric, had he been running the organization, might have seen things a little more clearly. Perhaps. I don't know.
Quickly, George Sedano is with us. We had a difference of opinion when the Heat announced that they were going to retire Chris Bosh's jersey. Crowder thinks that's ridiculous, and I thought it was due and warranted. And then as the texters were lining up against Crowder, you know, what are you talking about? He absolutely deserves that honor. We re-brought it up. This is a week ago or whatever. Re-brought it up, you know, later on in the show. And the tide shifted a little bit. And then we had Bill Ryder on from CBS Sports Radio, and he agreed with Crowder. He's like, no chance does that guy's jersey belong in the rafters. And I was shocked by that. Where do you stand on that?
I love Bill Ryder, but Bill Ryder's a little bit of a contrarian, okay? Like, and you know, like, that's just his nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you, like, why would you, like, say he's not? Like, I don't understand. Like, when you think about the greatest moments in Heat history, he was as big a part of it as anything.
Well, like, moments or one rebound?
No, come on, Crowder. He had crazy big moments in those couple of years, man. Like, if there was a game in Boston where he came back, people forget, he was supposed to be done for the entire playoffs that year they won the championship. He tore his oblique or whatever the hell and came back in that Boston series. And in the last couple of games, I think the clincher game, hit a bunch of threes with Kevin Garnett totally, you know, all up on him. Like, he had crazy moments that blocked against San Antonio, against Danny Granger in a game that won them a final game. He had, even in the game 4 in San Antonio, the year that they won, him, Wade, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh all went for like 30 points in that game. Like, no way, dude. He had monster games in some of the biggest moments. And it wasn't always just putting up points and rebounds and blocks. He was their best pick-and-roll defender. It wasn't LeBron James. It was Chris Bosh who destroyed the other team's pick-and-roll, which, by the way, that's pretty much what everybody ran at that particular time, particularly the Bulls. The teams that were going up against the Celtics, even to some extent at that time, and obviously the Spurs. So, yeah, like, he played a monster role. So if you think he doesn't deserve it, like, I'd like to see why you don't think that and who else Then they're not going to retire Udonis Haslem, right, if that's the case.
No, George, I don't think UD, I think his longevity might get him up there because he's beloved, but, like, how you have to do that with Bosch? Like, you don't say he's a great defender because he's never been on an all-defensive team. You say he plays the pick-and-roll well.
Oh,
like,
but come on,
you have
Crowder,
to really, but, George, you have Crowder. To really dig into game six against the Celtics. One rebound here. When you look up on those rafters, if I see, who's up there now? Jordan.
Tim Hardaway.
Tim, Wade's going to be there.
Shaq is up there.
Shaq's going to be there.
Alonzo Mourning's up there.
LeBron's going to make it. I don't think Bosch sits in that group with those names that are up on they're going to be in those rafters.
First of all, Chris Bosch is a first ballot Hall of Famer, not even up for debate, okay? And it's not even me who would say that. It's anyone who covered the league would say
Bill
that.
Ryder. And, Bill Ryder took issue with that as well.
Okay, well, clearly, of course, Bill Ryder did.
And it's hard to take Crowder's athletic take seriously after watching the peer jumping video, yeah.
But here's the thing. If you go to basketballreference.com, and they do a really good job of figuring this stuff out, like, they will tell you what percentage a guy has to make it to the Hall of Fame. Chris Bosh is like 99%, okay? So whether it's Channing Crowder or Bill Ryder, you're just wrong, right? Like, you're just wrong about this thing. You're doing the thing that everybody was doing to him when he was playing with the Heat. It's not the big three. It's the big two and a half. It's that nonsense. You're playing into that Skip Bayless character crap that everyone else was falling in those 4 years.
So all his numbers are lower. Even LeBron and Wade.
Well,
LeBron and Wade
going to be lower.
And LeBron and Wade did press conferences together. They left the third wheel out. He's not there.
Crowder, he doesn't get the touches that the other two get because the other two guys are prolific wing scorers. Big men in any offense with LeBron James aren't going to put up those kind of numbers. It doesn't mean that they're not worthy because of their contribution. There's more to basketball than just putting the ball in the hoop.
Somebody texts in, love when you bring Sedano on, but out of curiosity, how come you don't use the ISDN since he's got a radio show? Why don't we do that?
Because I'm not at the studio?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There's your explanation. Well, next time, let's do it while you're at the studio.
Okay. We can make that happen.
That's cool.
Sure.
That's a great idea by the texter.
Crowder,
you know I love an ISDN.
I know you do. Crowder, next time, look, here's the deal. If you can make that jump that you screwed up in that video, I will come to your side on Chris Bosh not being a Hall of Famer.
All right, so it is settled. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
So that's it.
That is it, my brother. See you, Sedano.
See you, guys.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. We'll take a quick break. You can fire up your angry texts at old oblique torn Crowder. And we'll come right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.